If you're able to hear me here, I think I'll stay here at the table. Does this work? All right. Also, for those who just came in the room the last few minutes, there are handouts in the back that you should pick up. There are also a couple of seats up front if you want to sit down with a table in front of you. So feel free. And Angela, thank you very much. That was a very nice introduction, and it really has been a pleasure working with you for lots of years now. And I look forward to continuing to do that. Well, in my role at the Family Violence Prevention Services Program at Health and Human Services, I was lucky enough to come into this project after Bill Riley, the former director, decided to fund this project jointly with National Institute of Justice. And we felt it was important because since the passage of the FIPSA Act in 1984, our program has been the primary federal funding source that's dedicated to domestic violence shelter and supportive services throughout the country. So we fund nearly all of the 1,200 shelter programs and about 300 non-residential programs around the country. And I think we have gone we've seen the work that is done there. We hear the stories of people's lives who are changed in shelter programs. And like you, we were very convinced of the importance of this work. We were lucky enough to know from the one-day census of domestic violence services that's conducted by the National Network to End Domestic Violence that there certainly is a need for these services. When they did a one-day count of services offered, they found that over 60,000 victims were served in a single day by domestic violence programs and that there were nearly 9,000 unmet requests for services, 21,000 hotline calls, 30,000 people trained. This isn't a single day. So clearly there's a demand out here. This isn't a service where people are looking for program participants at all. But for our office and trying to be good stewards of federal funds, funding these programs for all these 20-some-odd years, we also had to be able to answer the question, are these programs effective? Are these programs meeting the needs of victims of domestic violence? We thought so. We told stories of the numbers served, but we really had a little difficulty answering those questions, I feel, until this study was conducted, and it's been so helpful in that regard. But just as important as saying we have to ask the question, are these effective? Is this what survivors need? It's important to ask the question in the right way. If this were easy, it would have been done a long time ago. We would have had all kinds of effectiveness evaluations on domestic violence services. And when you're in federal government, sometimes you focus on those widgets so that you get, you know, these program accountability measures that will tell us if we're doing enough of this and is it cost effective. You know, it was suggested that we should report on the cost per bed night. But if we reported on the cost per bed night in these underfunded programs, then you have to ask the question to improve on that measure. What should we do? Provide fewer services? Make shelters more sparse? Not serve those victims and children quite as well? So we didn't think those were the questions that needed to be asked. Sometimes people wanted to evaluate shelter programs by asking, did the victims of domestic violence leave their abuser? Well, without knowing, you know, we all know that separation violence is a time of more violence for victims of abuse. Leaving isn't always the answer. Maybe leaving at that moment isn't the right answer. And maybe it's not what she wants to do. So it was very important to us that if we were going to look at shelter services, it was important to ask the right questions. And what I am so pleased about with this study is that it really is done from a survivor-driven services approach. It asks domestic violence survivors for their assessment of whether they receive the services they need. What was the change in their lives because of that? And it tried to get at the issue of, is this going to improve their safety and their well-being? The real important measures of whether or not these services are effective. So we are very pleased because this approach was built on questions and instruments that were developed in consultation with the domestic violence field over a number of years, and Eleanor will explain some of that to you. It got at survivors' assessment of the services, and it also gave us information on whether shelters were accessible, welcoming, and effective for survivors from different backgrounds, different abilities, different sexual orientations, all important information for us to have. So this shelter study answered many of these questions. It gave us some reassurances, many reassurances. But as any good study does, it also pointed to the areas in which we could seek to improve our services, and it raised questions for future research. Because we know that half of the domestic violence services that are offered in a given day are provided in shelter settings, and another half are provided are non-residential services. Some of our next questions that we're queuing up are, what do we know about the effectiveness of non-residential domestic violence services? That is our; those were our goals and what we were looking for in this study. And I'm pleased to introduce Eleanor Lyon, who will share more with us about the study and what she found.